And on episode 12, we will be covering March's Nintendo Direct, which includes Crash Bandicoot, Splatoon 2 DLC, and of course,
Super Smash Brothers!
So strap in and get ready to go beyond the start button!
Arcaders, this is Joshua the Uber Nerd, and we're here for another episode of the Beyond the Start Button podcast, the podcast where we talk about what we're passionate about every single month. It's a monthly podcast to be coming out. Now, this podcast would not be complete without the, I don't know, how do I want to say this time? I want to say something different this time. I don't know. The
Luigi to your Mario?
No, we already said that one. Yeah. I gotta say a new one. I gotta say something new. I gotta say something different. I gotta say something.
The General Hux to your Captain Phasma or the Phasma?
No, that's bad. They're bad guys.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No one cares about bad guys.
No, not at all.
Oh, I know. I got it. The Falco Lombardi to my Star Fox.
Yep, that's
Yay!
Right. Yep, the Falco. That's
we
right.
Got it.
That's right. Yep, Falco Lombardi. Yep, the Falco Lombardi to your Fox McCloud. Perfect.
That's
I
right.
Love it. I love it.
That
I love
would be.
It.
This is a really long intro to you, by the way.
Yep. Of which case, we do apologize.
Do not disappoint them. All right. Danny the Ultra Sonic Player. Yay!
Yo, what's happening, Arcadis? It's good to be back. And hey, it's a great time. Oh my gosh, so many things.
We've got so many things to talk about this episode. So what we're going to be talking about this episode, Danny has a few subjects he's going to talk about real quick. I have a few subjects I want to talk about real quick, mainly just movie trailers. We're going to go over them real quick.
Yeah.
And then our main topic for this episode is the Nintendo Direct. Now, we are recording this podcast on March the 9th, 2018. And yesterday, Nintendo just had a huge Direct, and they have a lot of mind-blowing things that they talk about, and I cannot wait to talk about them here on this podcast. What do you say, Danny Ultrasonic Player?
Yep, let's go for it. I mean, the internet broke. I'm amazed that they haven't that it came back up.
Nintendo again breaks the internet.
Yes.
So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get started. But before we do, I do want to mention one other thing. Now, I kind of mentioned this halfway through our podcast last episode, but I want to make sure I mention it now. We now have a YouTube channel on YouTube.com. I don't know if you ever heard of this website before, but there's a website called YouTube.com.
Yeah, the name does sound familiar.
And you can actually watch videos. What? You can watch videos on YouTube.com, okay? So there is a channel now. Our podcast now has a channel. You can see all the different episodes on the channel from start to finish. I've even made a playlist that you can actually watch every episode of our podcast, starting with the first one, going all the way to the newest one. Go to YouTube.com, search Beyond the Start Button Podcast, and you can actually find it quite easily. And you can tell that it's ours because of our logo, a little white circle with the colored dots on them. Definitely check that out. Make sure you subscribe to us. Make sure you watch the videos. That would make us great and happy. Oh, and don't forget to share, too, because the more you share, the more Arcaders we can join to our cause for the Arcade Archives Network. And we'll talk more about the website near the end of the podcast. All right. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and jump into what we're going to be talking about this month, what we're passionate about this month. So, Danny the Ultrasonic Player, what are you passionate about this month?
Well, to start off, I am passionate about a certain I wouldn't say movie, but definitely, I guess, the first volume of a very special series that you basically introduced me to.
And yes, heard it live here on the podcast, folks. Two episodes ago, we did a kind of a unique podcast. I liked it, where we kind of swapped our fandoms.
Yep,
for a
that
day.
We did.
So I swapped Ruby because I love Ruby, mm-hmm. And Danny had me swap with Voltron. and we kind of watch each other's shows one after the other. So yep. After a few episodes of Ruby, he went on to watch a few. I went on to watch a few episodes of Voltron, and then we went back and forth and back and forth until we were pretty much done with I finished the first three episodes of Voltron. You finished probably the first half of Volume 1. And
yep.
So if you haven't seen it, it was our podcast two episodes ago. So it was episode 9, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Or wait, no, sorry, 10. Episode 10. It was episode 10. Sorry. Episode 10. So, but please, you finally watched the entire volume. What did you think?
Wow. It's a great introduction to all the characters, and you definitely, and you actually get a sense of character development for a few of the supplementary characters, and not just your lead ones.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a great, you know, jumping on point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, great introduction, and you really get a sense, okay, I'm on board. Now I want to see what happens to them now.
Okay. Did you like the villains? Did you enjoy those villains?
I did to some extent, though, again, because this is only the beginning and I've only seen Volume 1 and I haven't seen the subsequent volumes,
mm-hmm.
In the beginnings, they at first kind of come across as being a little bit like, I don't want to say caricatures, but right. They definitely seem like cannon fodder almost.
Right. Okay.
Like, they don't really seem like to be like the kind of adversaries that you would really take seriously or consider to be a really big threat.
Even Roman Torchwick?
Well... until you get to the end. Then that's when you realize, okay, things are gonna get a lot more intense later on.
Okay, alright. Okay.
So,
But you liked it.
Okay. I liked it.
Moving on to Volume 2?
Yes, yes I am.
Alright, we were gonna continue to follow your path into Rubydom.
Yes. Yes, I have been seduced by the Ruby side of the Force, and I am not turning back from that. So good. I am definitely going to be looking forward to watching the other volumes.
And I will try to watch Voltron. I found out that you can watch some of the episodes on YouTube, so maybe I might try to catch up with that too. So, awesome. All right, so now what's your next point? Next point is a little show that you also enjoy very, very much, for the comic book version of this. So let's talk about that.
Yes. And for those of you who don't know, there's the Boom Studios version of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Now, it is not a continuation of the original show. It is essentially kind of its own continuity. If I didn't already mention that in any of the previous episodes where we talked about it. But in all, it's been great. And again, as I've said before, the great thing about these comics is that it's taking the characters in more interesting directions. And even the original cast themselves, David Yost and Walter Jones especially, a.k.a. Billy and Zach, from the original show, they themselves, practically everybody, including Jason Frank, Austin St. John, Amy Jo Johnson, they've all given their stamps of approval, and even they themselves are surprised by what they have read and seen in the comic. And the fact that they have Kyle Higgins, a.k.a. the guy who wrote Batman Beyond 2.0, and especially the Nightwing comics way back when, you know, having him on board as the writer really, really helps. And now, everything's gearing up for this really, really big event. I believe it's the first big one that we've had since the comic's inception. And it's called Shattered Grid, in which basically an alternate version of Tommy... Not the Tommy we all know and recognize, but a darker version. Basically think Injustice Superman, essentially. And maybe that's probably a tall order, but basically that's the gist of it. Where essentially, going back several comics back, in several issues back, our original team, or original six, had gone into like an alternate universe and encountered a dark version of Tommy where he did not, he stayed evil even after breaking Rita's control. And he went on to become Lord Drakon, or I don't know if it's either Drakon or Drakon, but basically it's spelled D-R-A-K-K-O-N.
Okay.
And essentially, his costume looks like a mixture of the green Mighty Morphin Power Rangers costume and the white Mighty Morphin Power Rangers costume. And so, and even though, great, I still have some catching up to do, but basically it looks as if though that this evil version of Tommy is basically just traveling around different alternate realities into different teams of Rangers, even the ones that we meet further along down the road, and he's basically going to try and wipe everybody out. And so it's one of those events that Now, granted, I mean, given that most of us have seen all kinds of DC and Marvel events, what makes this one special is that it's one that seems to be one done specifically with story, and it's not something that's just shoehorned in just for the sake of generating shock value. So that is, so again, it's something that I'm really looking forward to, and hopefully I'll be able to collect the comics, because basically what I do nowadays is that, so as to save space in my house, because I only have a finite amount of space, I try to wait until the trades come out, but I do try to swing by my local comic book shop. And again, yes, to quote the reasons I'm broke, support your local comic book shops, okay? Really. Definitely. Please do. So I'm definitely looking forward to that event, and hopefully it turns out good.
Oh, awesome.
So, Cool. So, but again, it's a great comic to be reading. And like I said, if you've ever wanted Power Rangers to have sophisticated storytelling like we've seen in other superhero TV shows like Netflix and what have you, this is definitely the closest we're going to get. So, again, check it out.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Let's talk something a little bit more.
Yes.
A little bit more somber. Let's talk about something a little bit more somber.
Yeah.
So, talk about your next point.
Yeah, the next point, for those of you who don't already know, though I'm sure everybody knows, David Ogden Stiers, a.k.a. the voice, the one and only voice of Cogsworth from the original Beauty, well, not original because there have been other interpretations, but from Disney's Beauty and the Beast back in 1991, he actually just recently passed away. And not just the voice of Cogsworth, but many, many different characters in animation throughout the 90s. And even before that, it turns out he had been really big. He had done other things, too. Many things on Broadway and film and even in TV. And I believe he played, he had a role in the TV show MASH or?
Yes.
Yeah. So he did that. So he was well known, in a lot of different, in TV and film and in Broadway, of course. But I know him mostly for a lot of the voiceover work he did, and talk about prolific stuff. I mean, Cogsworth was only just one of many different characters he played. I mean, he also played Governor Ratcliffe and Thomas in Disney's Pocahontas. He was also Stitch's, I guess you could say, father or creator. I mean, take it what you will. In Lilo and Stitch, so he did that. So it is a shame to see him pass away. But still, you know, I mean, he created a lot of so many indelible characters that will definitely be around long after him. I mean, it's going to be tough if they ever get who they're going to get for Cogsworth now. And who knows if he even who knows if for Kingdom Hearts 3 he did any voice tracks for that character or any other, you know, supplementary characters. But still, I mean, either way, you know, he will be missed, especially in animation, because, again, he voiced a lot of characters that took up a large part of my childhood. But again, to David Ogden Stiers, rest in peace, buddy, and thank you so much for everything.
All right, well, let's bring it up a little bit more for your next point. So that was a somber, but now let's do something a little bit more positive. So let's talk about Star Wars, the live-action series, and the announcement that just came out recently.
Yes, yes. It turns out that Jon Favreau, that's right, the guy who directed Iron Man, as well as played Happy Hogan, in the MCU, he is now going to be heading up a Star Wars TV series, but it won't be animated. It'll actually be live action, and that's the that's the furthest thing that I, as to what the summary is going to entail, like what is it going to be about, I don't know yet, but we will find out more information as time goes by. But
yeah, I think it's really cool. I love Jon Favreau as a director. I think he's really, really good at kind of bringing a realism to
he really does.
Extreme things. Now, honestly, I've only seen a very few of his movies, most notably being Iron Man and Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
And I really did enjoy both of those movies, yeah. Even Iron Man 2, even though not a lot of people loved Iron Man 2. It's all right.
Yeah.
I have an unpopular opinion, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I know that I had seen him in a few other things as an actor. And usually, I mean, he's okay. I mean, as an actor, but as a director, the guy really knows his stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he even directed the Jungle Book, the live action Jungle Book,
yes,
which a lot of people have been talking about how good that was. I honestly, I've never seen it personally, but I've heard a lot of people say how good that was.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to bring his brand to the Star Wars universe, I think that's going to be really, really neat.
Yeah.
You know, I know that we're waiting on getting an announcement about the next Star Wars animated series.
Yes.
Because we know that another one's coming.
Yes.
They're teasing it.
Yeah.
And they might as well just tell us.
Yeah. Basically, the way I look at it, they're either going to tell us at the 11th hour when we're not expecting it, or they're probably going to wait until either any of these big conventions. Who knows? I mean, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's going to be really, really good. I don't know how much Star Wars, though, this world can take, to be honest. Personally, I'm of the opinion that it's not a big deal as long as it's good.
Yes.
As long as it's good and good quality, I don't care. So far, all the movies that they have done since the acquisition of Disney, acquisition of Lucasfilm, have done phenomenally, in my opinion anyways, phenomenal job with the TV shows, with the cartoons, with the movies. I feel though that if they're gonna do a live action TV series, I really, really think they should probably stop doing a movie every year. Because we're basically getting Star Wars almost 24/7 now. And with the animated series, with the live action series, with the movies, with the, you know, with
the movie
every year, with the shorts that they come out with, all this stuff is a little too books, comics, you know, stuff. All this stuff is a lot to take in, and it's very difficult for a person, especially somebody who's maybe more of a casual Star Wars fan. Not somebody like us who just eats it up.
Yeah, we eat it up like cereal.
Like Kirby, we suck it all in.
we eat it up like cereal. It's just like, okay, there we go.
But for the casual fan, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. And there's more casual fans than hardcore.
Yeah.
So I don't know how this is going to do.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say it's a catch-22.
Right.
But on the one hand, you know, Star Wars has always been there, but the thing is like, even after the movie, the classic trilogy ended, there was a very big gap between 83 to 99.
And that is our generation, the dark times.
And the only real outlet we had was basically the books.
Yeah.
And the few comics.
And the comics.
And I remember specifically, you know, as a kid, you know, Star Wars was not really looked on, it was looked upon as more of the quote unquote geek thing and not exactly the mainstream thing. Nowadays, it's a whole different animal altogether.
Right.
But I get what you mean, because the last thing you want is to get fatigued.
Right.
But I think what Disney's trying to do is they just want to strike while the iron's hot.
Yes, but unfortunately though, if they continue to strike, they're eventually going to break it.
And that's true.
That's something that I don't want to happen with Star Wars, because it being such a pivotal part of my life and my fandom and stuff like that, I don't want it to break.
Yeah, you don't.
As long as they continue to make quality things, I will watch it. I will read it. I will, you know, I will buy some of the merchandise.
Yeah.
but I do caution Lucasfilm to probably slow down. Maybe give us a movie every other year. If they're going to give us a two TV shows, you know, a live action and an animated series, plus shorts, plus comics, plus books, plus, you know, whatever else they decide to do.
Yeah.
It's a little much, and I think it'd be better if we had some time to kind of process everything. If they want to do I'm not saying that the TV show is a bad idea.
Yeah.
I just feel it's a bad idea in conjunction with everything else that they're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that Disney gets a little bit smarter with this.
Yeah.
And good one. All right. So my points now. Yay. All right. So my first point is actually something that's going to happen very, very soon. It's a convention, but it's a little different convention than most. This convention is going to celebrate a favorite 90s animated series of mine. I guess it's the red-headed or black-headed with lightning stripes child of the Steven Spielberg animated series line. And that, of course, would be Freakazoid.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Freakazoid. I'm a huge fan of Freakazoid. I love Freakazoid. Man, I love Freakazoid. It's so funny and so witty, and there has never been a cartoon like it before, and there will never be a cartoon like it There are some people that say there are cartoons like it now, like most of the Adult Swim cartoons are like yeah. that. No. There is nothing like Freakazoid right now. yeah. I wish there was, but there's nothing yeah. like Freakazoid. But the creators of said Freakazoid
yeah.
Have decided to do a convention, but not a convention at a place where people can all go to,
yeah.
but an online convention that's free of charge. They're going to be live streaming. They're going to have all the creators, a couple of the voice actors that worked on the show. I'm actually quite excited to see this right now. I really am excited about it. And it's all made by the creators. Everything is all by the creators. I'm really, really super psyched about it. I found this out actually because a friend of mine, and I don't remember who it was, sent me a link to the Nostalgia Critic. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Yes, seen his videos.
He did a video about Freakazoid, kind of a retrospective.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was great, by the way. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube, find it out after you subscribe to our channel. It's a really great little retrospective. It has two of the creators of the show on there talking about how they created Freakazoid and stuff like that. But FreakyCon, I'm very excited. I cannot wait. I don't know if I'll be able to actually see the live stream, but I'm hoping that the video will be online so I can see it in its entirety.
It will.
Yeah, it's really cool. So yeah, check that out. Next up, we're going to talk some trailers. Last month we talked about a whole bunch of trailers. We've yeah. got a whole bunch more now.
Oh yeah.
to talk about.
You have no idea.
We have a whole bunch of trailers to talk about. And not just movie trailers. We've got some video game stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So first of all, we'll talk Christopher Robin. Okay. Before we get into this, I want to just say when they announced this movie, Christopher Robin, I was like, oh no. Here we go. Then they said it's a live-action Winnie the Pooh movie. I was like, oh, no. I was like, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, because it's like some things just don't translate to live-action very
right,
well.
Right, right. I just couldn't. I couldn't wrap my head around it. Then a friend of mine put the trailer of the movie up on Facebook. I clicked it. I watched it. My gosh, that movie yeah. looks awesome.
Yeah.
Just that few minutes was amazing. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. First of all, we have a grown-up Christopher Robin, played by Obi-Wan Kenobi himself.
Ewan McGregor,
which I thought was great casting. I like him. I can't wait to see what he brings to yeah. the table as Christopher Robin. But then we get our first look at Winnie the Pooh.
Yep.
Who, by the way, looks like an old stuffed animal that's been lost and forgotten. And I love that. But yep. let's talk about the fact that they actually got Jim Cummings, the official yes. voice of Winnie the Pooh,
yes.
to reprise his role as Winnie the Pooh in the live action movie.
Yes. And honestly, it could not have been done any other way.
It could have not been done any other way.
Yeah, you're not gonna have, you know, there's no way you're gonna have some big name actor doing this character. No way.
Absolutely not.
Because, I mean, you do that, then it's like, forget it. You might as well not even bother.
Mm-mm.
But the fact that you have Jim Cummings doing this,
yes.
that he is doing Pooh Bear, at yes. least, that alone is worth the price of admission. I'll admit, part of me is still kind of on the fence on Ewan McGregor doing a grown-up Christopher Robin. But then again, I saw the movie Hook back in 91.
I think
that's the vibe they might be going for a little bit.
I want to bring that up too, because that's what I thought of too. And I was talking about some friends of mine at work about it. We were talking about how this very much is like Hook
yeah.
in a way. And if it is like Hook, this movie will be awesome.
Yes. That's right.
So I'm kind of excited. I think we might actually see it and maybe talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
If we go see it. But I'm excited about it.
Yep.
Just that alone, like, I heard so many people were, like, crying when they saw this trailer, and like,
I think I'm going to have to see it again.
There's nothing even sad in this trailer.
No.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a little bit of sadness, but not like I'm gonna cry now sadness. But people say they were crying, they were bawling tears. The only negative thing I heard about this is the movie kind of, some people were saying that this movie kind of has a horror movie setup to it. And I'm like, I can see that, but no, I don't think so.
I mean, I don't really get that vibe.
No, it's not a horror movie, but I'm just saying the setup, the way they set up the trailer feels like a horror movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, Christopher Robin, very excited for that. Next up, is something that, we haven't really talked too much about. We did talk about Wreck-It Ralph, several podcasts ago. We were talking about the 10th anniversary, right? It was the 10th anniversary or something like that. Anniversary. We were talking about it.
Yeah.
We talked about how we loved the movie, and we heard about Ralph Wrecks the Internet, which is Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I wasn't completely excited about it because Wreck-It Ralph should be about video games.
Yeah.
Because that's who these characters are. They're video game characters. And the love and attention that these people brought to video games makes me feel happy.
Yes.
All inside me. All with my heart, guts, and everything. It makes me feel warm inside.
It almost won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature. It came down to that and Pixar's Brave.
But then they announced Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Wrecks the Internet. And then they told us that Ralph is going to the Internet. And already I was like, oh no.
Well, I mean, this could go either way.
Right.
It really could. Cause I mean, I get what I don't know. Cause for me personally, I figured, well, okay, so Ralph is back. He finally he's finally accepted who he is and things like that.
Right.
So I guess the question would be, where does he go from there?
Right.
So, and I guess.
Well, even Vanellope too, because we have a little bit of character development with Vanellope, who again, also like Ralph, accepts who she is and stuff like that. But now, where do we go from here? Because it doesn't really look like we have any other, I mean, according to the trailer, at least, it doesn't really look like we have any other characters besides Ralph and Vanellope. That's all we've got. So I don't really know how this is going to go. On top of that, because of another certain movie called The Emoji Movie, which stunk like a big stink bomb.
Oh boy. I never saw it, but
people are comparing the two movies now because there are similar ideas. And I really think that this movie is almost doomed for failure because of that. Because how similar in tone it is to The Emoji Movie, that we may have a problem here. Now I have heard things, back last year's D23, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Skywalking Through Neverland, and they actually got to see a special trailer for it that showed some footage that we didn't get to see in the trailer that they just released, and they loved it. So maybe it's just the trailer? Now, honestly, the trailer didn't do too bad of a job. I kind of explained everything.
Yeah.
I thought the bit with the bunny rabbit, meeting the bunny rabbit, was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I really did into that. That was so funny. A little gruesome, but very funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, for me personally, I'm keeping an open mind, but I don't know. It's one of those things where I think Wreck-It Ralph probably should have stayed as a standalone film.
Right.
Because I don't, personally, and again, maybe this is the writer in me, but I just don't see story-wise where Ralph and his friends could go from there.
I'm hoping they prove me wrong.
Yeah, me too.
I'm hoping I really do like these characters. I don't know how much, because they're going to do all these anime tropes. I mean, all these internet things.
Yeah.
All these internet tropes.
Internet memes.
Internet memes and all the, I don't know. We'll find out. I'm hoping they don't Wreck-It Ralph. Okay. Next up, we have another thing that actually surprised me. Because the funny thing was, when I saw this trailer online, it didn't have the name of what it was. So actually, that really blew my mind when I found out what it was. Because all they had on the post was, it's like Jurassic Park meets E.T. And I'm like, I like Jurassic Park. I kind of like E.T. Yeah. All right. Merge them together. Okay. So I watched the trailer. And oh my gosh. This trailer is a trailer for a Netflix exclusive series of a rebooted Lost in Space. Now, for those of you not familiar with the Lost in Space, because probably most of you were born way after Lost in Space was done, Lost in Space is a television series that came out, I believe, in the 70s? Somewhere around there. Our fact checker is going and fact checking right now. But Lost in Space was a TV series that they did way back when. This was a series that was kind of, I would say, kind of the same for most of the time. You had shows like Lost in Space.
1965.
1965. Okay. So I was close. You have shows like Johnny Quest and Lost in Space, where families would go out and have adventures, these grandiose adventures. Lost in Space was a huge, huge television series. Fast forward to 1998, they rebooted the Lost in Space franchise and tried to do a new, hipper, more computer-generated-y series. And to be honest, I actually enjoyed that movie, which also had, what's his name from Friends?
I know that Gary Oldman was in there.
Yes, Gary Oldman was in it.
And Mimi Rogers from the first Austin Powers movie, right, and a few other films.
I forget his name from Friends. Matt LeBlanc was in it too. I love the movie. I thought it was really, really good. I think the coolest thing was the robot. That robot was so cool.
Yes.
That design for that robot was so amazing. I really, really enjoyed that, but apparently not a lot of people did enjoy it.
That's what I heard too.
It didn't do so well, so unfortunately there wasn't any continuation of it. It didn't do as well as they were hoping, so they didn't continue it. But now, Netflix has it. They're doing a completely different series, a completely different reboot, with completely different characters. A new robot, which looks pretty cool, I have to admit.
Yeah. It looks more alien-esque.
Yeah, it looks more alien.
It doesn't look like a bulky robot suit that...
Yeah, the weird robot from the original series. Or still, I think the 98 reboot had a really cool design.
Yeah. I never saw it, though now that you've mentioned it, I really want to check that out.
Right.
Because I do remember seeing, movie cases for it. I'm like, huh, I gotta check it out.
Yeah, it's a decent film. Like, is it the greatest movie ever made? No. You gotta remember that this was made back in 1998, where a lot of computer animation was still very new.
Yeah.
So some of the computer animation was a little wonky.
Yeah.
But I did like it. Gary Oldman as Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
He was really good. As that character.
Did he sound as theatrical as the late Jonathan Harris?
I wouldn't say as Shakespearean, but he did kind of take on it.
Yeah, because the only reason I'm saying that is because... The reason why I'm saying that is because I listened to Rob Paulson's podcast, yes, Talking Toons, yes, and Rob Paulson mentions Jonathan Harris,
yes,
who, as it turns out, was a cat from Brooklyn, but of course, because he did a lot of theater, as Mark Hamill also pointed out,
right,
you know, that they beat that accent out of him and replaced it with a very Shakespearean,
yes, you glorious clown, yeah.
Oh, don't talk to me that way, you sanctimonious bucket of boats. Oh, the pain.
and the funny thing is, he actually reprised his role in Freakazoid to turn it all about to Freakazoid.
Yep.
He was in Freakazoid too.
And he even Manny the Mantis in A Bug's Life.
He did exactly
that same kind of vibe.
I mean, talk about typecasting.
Yeah.
This time around though, apparently Dr. Smith is now a woman, so that's going to be interesting.
Mm. as long as it's good, I don't care.
It looks really, really good. Like, we both saw the trailer. We're both very interested by it. I love the ship. It's kind of that old Lost in Space ship mixed with, like, the Millennium Falcon. You know, it has that kind of vibe to it.
So the design has a very old school vintage feel. That's good. That's good. I don't mind that.
But it also has very new stuff. The trailer kind of reminded me of Stranger Things. Which a friend of mine pointed out that most of the Netflix shows kind of have that vibe to it.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense. So we'll see when this show comes out. I don't know how we'll be able to see it, but I will definitely get back to you on that.
Yeah, but again, the beauty about it being on Netflix, and this is something that has been that I've seen from the few Netflix things I've seen, namely Voltron, of course. But the thing about Netflix is that, and this is going to be a TV series, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the beauty about doing this on Netflix, as opposed to doing it on network television, is that you can pretty much do serialized storytelling, as opposed to network television, where you may have to kind of maybe do a standalone or filler episode, just to kind of keep people from catching up. But the beauty about it being on Netflix means that you not only are able to serialize the storytelling, but you're able to tell... Yeah, oh my gosh. Sorry. Rented lips and a rented voice box tonight, folks. But anyway, but yeah, you're able to tell more elaborate story... You're able to tell the story in a more... In a higher quality than what you normally would be able to do on a TV show. And so basically, again, I mean, again, aside from that 98 flick, which I still... I do intend to check it out somehow. I really am looking forward to this. I don't know what to expect, but maybe that's the beauty of being attracted to this show. And I too will find a way to check it out. Hopefully it's, hopefully it's good.
I think it's going to be interesting if they do it correctly.
Yeah.
Especially bringing out all of the kind of the newness of it. They have a lot of actors and actresses in it I've never seen before. So, you know, and the first season's going to only be about 10 episodes.
That's okay.
So it's not going to be a very long first season. I guess they're probably wanting to see how this show goes before they start, you know, before they start going with it.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes out, we're looking at that right now. It's going to be out on April 13th, so next month. Oh. So maybe if we have some time for our podcast next month. Maybe we can watch it and see what it's like. I you know, if they did it correctly, I think it would be great. It would be a great show. So, all right, moving on to my last talk about, and then we're gonna slowly get into what were our main topic this week.
Yeah.
But, last one I want to talk about is Sonic Forces.
Ah.
Ah, yes. Sonic the Hedgehog, for those of you who probably didn't know about, is one of my favorite video game characters, if not my favorite video game character of all time. When I was a kid, Sonic the Hedgehog was a bit influence on me because, again, if you never listened to a podcast before, I'm an artist, I'm a freelance artist, and Sonic was one of the first cartoon characters that I really wanted to learn how to draw very well. And also, the video games inspired me to keep playing and exploring, and I really, really enjoyed it, especially Sonic 2.
Oh, yeah, that one's...
Of the trilogy, although I did like Sonic and Knuckles, later on, Knuckles Chaotic for the 32X.
How was that?
That was a really good game. I did enjoy it. And one of the first truly co-op side-scrolling platformers, which was really quite interesting because it's a very interesting. But I loved that game too.
Wait, wasn't Sonic 3 somewhat co-op?
No, Sonic 3 was not co-op. Sonic 2 and Sonic 3 kind of had co-op. I call it the little brother mode because you could play Tails and Tails doesn't really die, and you know, he just runs around.
Yeah.
So I mean, they technically had co-op, but not really.
Oh, okay, all right.
So, anyways, but as Sonic got to the modern age, he started falling prey to 3D games, and of course, not being a platformer anymore because that's how Sonic thrived, was platforming.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, after Sonic Adventure 2, they didn't really know where to go from there. And
Although Sonic Heroes was pretty cool.
Sonic Heroes was okay. It wasn't the greatest. It was very buggy, but it was all right.
Yeah, I think what they were trying to do is that I'm willing to bet that probably after Super Mario 64 came out, Sega looked at that and realized, okay, we need to do the same thing for our character. Right. And that's why Sonic Adventure 1 had a very Mario 64-esque type of vibe to it.
Right, because that's at that time, everyone thought that's what 3D platformers were going to be.
Yeah.
And Sonic Adventure was alright. Honestly, to be quite honest, I didn't like Sonic Adventure as much as most people do.
Yeah, but that's what I liked about Sonic Adventure 2 was that it fixed a lot of that. And right. What I really liked about
that's
it...
That's why I liked Sonic Adventure 2 much more.
Yeah, and you probably noticed this too. It was the first GameCube game that I ever got.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I played it on Dreamcast.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So you got it during the Twilight days. Yeah. But what really got my attention, even now to this day, is that it was one of those... It was like, you could almost say an almost near-perfect Sonic platformer because... Not only did you have the platforming action, but you also had a bit of a coherent storyline to go with it that really gave a sense of, like, oh my gosh, because it's one of those things where the plot was done in such a way to where there was all these different storylines that all of a sudden started to come together at the very end.
Merged, yeah.
And here's the thing, the trailers for each of the, for both the hero side, the dark side, I know, right?
Yeah.
And even, especially, the final trailer. That final trailer, you don't want to be listening to that thing if you're by yourself and you have all the lights out. We'll leave it at that, okay? Because that trailer, and again, you can even look it up on YouTube, but that final trailer for the final part of Sonic Adventure 2, it had a very, I don't want to say scary vibe, but it really had a sense of, uh-oh, there's a sense of finality.
Right. And also, I forgot to even mention this, I also read the Sonic comics when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually a very faithful reader for Sonic comics for a very long time. In fact, I still own a lot of those Sonic comics, and including the Knuckles miniseries, which turned into an actual series for a while.
Wow.
But yeah, I was a huge fan.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get those, because I have the archive novels.
Kind of coming out with it, because... Sonic is now not on Archie anymore. Now they've moved on to IDW.
Okay.
And, but from what I heard, IDW is going to do like an omnibus with all the, Archie.
An omnibus? Oh boy.
Whoa! Yes.
Okay, fine. As long as they don't do what DC did with the Death of Superman.
Oh my gosh.
Cause again, I'm sure you heard.
Yeah.
The Death of Superman omnibus, when that one came out, they cut a lot of important scenes out.
Oh wow.
So, if they're going to do an omnibus, they need to include everything. Yeah. I don't care, even if it's little side stories, include everything.
Yeah.
As long as IDW does that, I am on board.
And there's so many issues of Sonic the Hedgehog, it's not even funny. But and then you got the Knuckles miniseries, and then you've got the... eventually they made a Sonic Universe series.
Yeah, they even did a crossover between him and Mega Man.
Mega Man, yeah, they did a whole bunch of stuff. But now they're going to IDW, but we're getting off the rails right now.
Yeah,
so
sorry,
fast forward a little bit. Sonic, there really wasn't any good Sonic games until, Sonic Generations and Sonic Colors.
Yes.
Sonic Generations was an amazing game, and I loved it so much.
Yeah, I've been meaning to play that game.
It's really, really good. I love the 2D mixed with 3D platforming.
Yep.
You know, Sonic, classic Sonic felt right. 2D Sonic felt, modern Sonic felt right. It was a great mashup.
Yep.
Really loved it. And then, of course, Sonic Colors took what they learned from Generations, or vice versa. I don't remember which one came out first. But Sonic Colors took that and took it a little step forward, and added the wisps and gave you a little power-ups and stuff like that. I do enjoy that. Now, since then, I don't really think there's been a very good Sonic game, or at least a Sonic game that I enjoyed. I mean, we're not even going to talk about the two stinkers, Sonic 06 and Sonic Boom.
Oh, gosh.
Let's not talk
about
that. The
less about those things, the better.
I do enjoy those games. Now, coming out with Sonic Forces, because we had two Sonic games come out at the same time. We had Sonic Mania, which was the classic one. We've talked about that. I love Sonic Mania. Sonic Mania is an amazing game. Great throwback to the original games. And then we had Sonic Forces. And now, a lot of people really hit Sonic Forces hard. A lot of critics, a lot of people online really hated on Sonic Mania a lot. I mean, Sonic Forces a lot. And I'm actually kind of sad about it, because I played the game, and it's a really good game. Now, is it the best Sonic game I've ever played? No, I still think Generations and Colors are probably the best Sonic game since, since the 3D era. But it is a decent platformer, and if they just tweak what they did in Sonic Forces a little bit, I really do believe that the Sonic games could be a lot better going up from now on. So for those of you who don't know, Sonic Forces is very much like Generations, where you get to play classic Sonic, you get to play modern Sonic, but you also get to customize your own avatar in the game. Hmm. And the avatar, which a lot of people think actually was supposed to be the Sonic Boom Sonic, you know, because you have the three generations of Sonic.
Yeah.
So they think that that was actually supposed to be what the creative character was. But you get to create your own avatar. It's actually pretty cool. I like the avatar system. I didn't think I would. I mean, it's very simple. There's only specific things you can do, but you can actually create a character that does really cool stuff. You get a little weapon that you get to use.
Wow.
And each, there's different types of weapons that you can use that do different things. You get wisps, just like in Sonic Colors, and the wisps give you different abilities and different powers, to your gun, depending on the type of gun you have. You can really deck out your character, and really create all kinds of different characters. I actually created, a character from the Archie comics. I created a character called Bunny Rabot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I created her completely. Nice. She looks. I mean, not exactly like the actual character in the but as close as I could get in that with all the options, and it looks pretty good. I'll have to show it to you later. But
all right.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I know that's an unpopular opinion again. Well, we're just filled with unpopular opinions here.
Yep, exactly.
But Sonic Forces was a decent game. It's a very short game. The campaign is very, very short. You can actually download an extra top on top of that with Shadow, so you can play Shadow.
Okay.
But it's only like 3 levels long.
Does Shadow use a gun?
Yeah. No, Shadow does not use a gun.
Good.
You can also download it so you can play Super Sonic with both Classic and Modern Sonic, which is pretty cool. You get to whisper around like Super Sonic.
Wow.
Stuff like that. So I did enjoy it. I also know that one of my favorite YouTubers, The Completionist, is actually going to do a video this month about it. He actually enjoyed it too. Actually, he was the one that actually inspired me to go play it, because I had heard so many bad things about it, and I'm kind of sick and tired of hearing bad things about Sonic games.
Yeah.
I just was like, well, I'll just forget it. But after he started talking about it and how, you know, decent this game is, I got me curious, so I found a copy of it and played it, and I enjoyed it.
All right.
Was a decent game. Was it the best Sonic game I ever played? No. But it was a decent game, and I felt like I didn't waste my money on it, so.
Okay.
And also the other thing I liked about it was that it had a more serious tone to it. It wasn't silly, it was more serious.
Really?
And it felt more like the comics as opposed to the actual video game, so I did enjoy that too.
You know, that really gets me wondering, how come Sega never... They never really seemed to take advantage of the characters that obviously came from SatAM, and then of course really, really got developed more in the comics.
Right.
Why they never really used Rotor? Why they never used Antoine or Princess Sally Acorn?
They only appeared in one Sonic game, but it's a very quick cameo, and that was Sonic Spinball. They make a very quick cameo in one of the bonus levels.
I know which one you're talking about.
As you can free them from these little capsules and you see them fly off.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But that was like the only thing that they ever did.
I mean, it's a shame, because I really feel that they could have gone and, I mean, granted, not that they couldn't have introduced Amy. Because obviously they did, mm-hmm, both in the games and even in the comics.
Every single Sonic character that was ever thought of.
Yeah.
Or brought to light, or even a deleted character, was brought into the Archie comics. A lot of the other characters came from SatAM.
Yeah.
Like Princess Sally and Bunny Rabbit and Antoine and Boomer or Rotor, depending on who you call it, depending on when you started reading the comic.
Yeah.
You know, all these characters were added in. And I really am going to miss them. Although I am, after listening to The Reasons I Broke, podcast and his interview with one of the writers for the new IDW Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah. I'm kind of excited about this new IDW.
Wait, it's not Inflin?
It's, I forget his name, and I will look it up real quick as you continue to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, because, I don't know, the reason why I'm saying is because for the longest time, Ian Flynn had been the real, like, or at least from a writing standpoint, he was one of the driving forces behind the comics for the longest time. And he seemed, you know, pretty entrenched, or I guess you could say really well suited for it. But, you know, it's IDW. If they wanted to go in a different direction, then I guess
that was... Ian Flynn.
It is Ian Flynn. Oh, okay, good. All right, good. Yeah,
he didn't start from the very, very beginning, but he was definitely...
Yeah, he's definitely been the longest, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, as long as he wants to do it, and if IDW says, yeah, you know what, come on in. If you want to, then okay. Then
yeah, he's one of the head writers. So
good.
I'm excited about it, and they also got a lot of the artists that did the Archie comic to come back and do it.
Good.
I know that they've designed a brand new character named Tangled, who's a lemur. She's a brand new character. I kind of like her design.
Yeah.
A lot of people online liked her design. So,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as... I mean, look, I mean, for me, I got a lot of catching up to do because for me, in my case, I got a few of the Archie comics or rather these little digests called the Sonic the Hedgehog Archives, which I only have the first few... I only have the first few volumes. I'm working on that, I know. But again, it's just... It's going to be interesting to see how it builds. But you know what? If IDW is going to do an omnibus of everything, and as long as they don't cut things out,
right,
then I will definitely be on board.
But the good thing is, this new Sonic one that's going to be on IDW
is
completely new. It's a completely new reboot, so you can jump into this.
Okay, so it's sort of like a different continuity?
Yes, completely new continuity.
Okay.
Apparently it's going to be closer to the actual games than what Archie Comics did, because the Archie had its own universe that like had little bits and pieces of the games in it. But this is going to be closer to the games, which I'm okay with.
So, does this mean that we're not going to see Antoine or Sally?
No, we're not going to see any of those characters, as far as we know.
Great.
As far as we know. But the first four issues are going to come out, I believe, next month. And it's going to be the whole month. So, there's going to be an issue every week. And then from then on, it's going to be a monthly thing.
Oh,
so,
well,
I'm excited about it.
Well, as long as it's good. Yeah, as long as it's good. It's going to be really hard.
It sounds like fun, and Ian Flynn sounds like he's a very huge Sonic fan. I don't think he'll do it wrong. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing it for many years now, so he pretty much knows these characters inside and out, or at least he knows the main character of Sonic inside and out. So
right. I'm excited to see what they do with it.
But will Tails and Knuckles at the very least be there?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay, good.
As far as I know, at least the main three... You know, plus Robotnik or...
Yeah, Robotnik.
Eggman.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, for me, it's either Robotnik or Robotnik. Although I don't mind the idea of Sonic calling him that as an insult. That's perfectly fine. But yeah, Robotnik or Robotnik, in my opinion.
Yes, it's Robotnik. Oh, gosh. All right, so now we're going on from Sonic to Nintendo. Yay!
Woo!
So, as I said earlier, as of the recording of this podcast yesterday... Nintendo just released a Nintendo Direct. Now, when I first heard about this Nintendo Direct, I didn't really think that they would really announce anything too major because E3 is coming up in a few months. I didn't really think they would really talk about anything major in this one. Boy, was I wrong!
We all were so wrong.
But they have a lot in this Direct, and it shocked me, rocked me to my core, and I couldn't even like fathom some of the things they talked about.
No.
And now it gets me wondering, what is E3 going to be like this year?
I think we're probably going to be in for an even bigger surprise.
I know, I'm excited, I can't wait to see. Now, a lot of people are even thinking that it was just going to be more announcements of more Wii U ports.
Yeah.
Which...
Again, like I said, in my case, I don't have a problem with that.
So, but let's talk about this. Now, like I said before, I really think that the Nintendo 3DS probably has at least one more year before they stop, making games for it. Because I think the Switch is selling well now. I think that people have got it in their houses and... some people have multiple Switches in their house now.
Yeah.
So I think that the 3DS is probably getting close to its end. But I was surprised how many games they announced for the 3DS, not just indie games, but like actual Nintendo titles. And one of them actually isn't even coming out till next year. So, like I said, I think that's probably what's going to happen. I don't know if they'll announce it at this E3 or not, or maybe it just quietly let it die like the Wii U.
For me, I might as well just buy another 3DS just to kind of be like, okay, keep this one for posterity.
But anyways, so we're not going to talk about every single title for these systems. If you want to check it out for yourself, go on youtube.com, find Nintendo's channel. You can find the Nintendo Direct there. We're not going to talk about every single one, but we're going to just talk about the ones that we're really excited about. Yep. So we'll start with 3DS. We have the WarioWare Gold, which is going to have over 300 micro games inside.
Yep.
Brand new game, WarioWare game. We haven't seen a WarioWare game since the Wii U. With Game & Wario, which, by the way, I really like Game & Wario. I thought that was really fun. Mm. They had this really cool game called, I forgot what the mini game was, but basically you hid from your mom. You're like playing the kid, you're trying to play your game, and your mom was trying to like see you play the game
because you're supposed to be asleep. Yes. Oh man.
I love that one.
Oh boy.
I love that little mini game. So, WarioWare, I'm not a big fan of WarioWare. I've played many of the games.
Yeah.
But like, it's one of those casual games that it's kind of cool. But it's pretty interesting that they're coming out with, and this will be out in August.
Okay.
So it's called WarioWare Gold, and they said it's going to have the most micro mini games that any WarioWare game has had so far. They're going to have a lot of the familiar characters that in the WarioWare universe, and apparently they're going to get all upgrades and redesigns and stuff. So that's going to be pretty cool. Next. On the heel of the success of Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, because they redid that for the 3DS, we're now getting Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story.
Yep, which originally came out for the DS.
And this is going to add a Bowser story, a Bowser Jr. story.
Wow.
Along with it. Pretty cool. It's going to come out next year. I haven't played... Except for Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, I have not played any of the Mario & Luigi games.
Yeah, I've played the one, the one with Luigi being asleep. What's it
that
called?
That would be Dream Team.
Dream Team, yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't finished it yet, but that one's a lot of fun.
Okay. I haven't played it since the original, so I don't know. It seems pretty cool.
It is.
Next up, of course, is Detective Pikachu. We talked about that. That one's coming out in just a few weeks as of the recording of this podcast.
Yeah.
Very excited about that, especially the amiibo.
Yeah, you know, I'm still kind of on the fence, but now having seen the trailer, I'm like, okay, I think I might just get that in the amiibo.
It looks very much like, Professor Layton.
Yeah.
It looks in that kind of vein, so I'm excited to see what they do with it. Apparently it's really popular in Japan, and of course they're also making a live action movie based on it, so, we better see what happens with this.
Like I said,
it's gonna be Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu, so, you know.
Okay, I'm not sure.
I can't really see Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu, but okay, whatever. Detective Pikachu. All right. Cool. All right. So I'm hoping this game does good. I'll be purchasing it. One of the very few 3DS games I'll probably be purchasing.
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu. Luigi's Mansion was announced for the 3DS, and not just a new Luigi's Mansion, aka Dark Moon, but we have the original.
That's right.
The original GameCube game, Luigi's Mansion, is now going to be on the 3DS. I'm really kind of excited for this, because I had never actually, except for a while back when we had the show The Gamesters on our website, thearcadearchives.com, I played a little bit of the first couple minutes of Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
I played Dark Moon. I loved Dark Moon.
Yeah, that game was amazing.
But I've always wanted to play the original. And I've never had that opportunity.
Yeah, I have had the chance to play it, and it is a lot of fun, and it is a very underrated GameCube game.
Okay, so...
It really is.
I'm definitely probably going to be purchasing this, and it's going to be coming out this year. Now, they said that it's going to be the original game. They're going to add a boss rush mode, and some other interesting stuff. So that's going to be cool. I can't wait to play that game. All right, so that's all the 3DS titles that we're going to talk about. Let's move on to Switch. Let's switch it up.
You know it.
Okay, moving on. So first of all, just really quickly, I just wanted to touch on it real quick. Kirby's Star Allies, which is coming out probably in a few weeks as of recording this podcast. Very excited about this game. I love Kirby games. The fact that it's four-player co-op is going to be absolutely fun.
Yes.
I think I may pick it up, but I don't think I'll get it at launch. I think I'll wait.
Yeah, same here.
But it looks pretty cool. And it looks like you can even use the amiibos to unlock some of the Kirby characters in the game as well. So King Dedede, Meta Knight, Bandana Waddle Dee, because it's a big difference. Because he has a bandana.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He thinks he's a Ninja Turtle. I don't know. But anyways, that's going to be coming out here in a few weeks. I'm very excited. I love Kirby games.
Yeah.
So,
I had heard, according to the GameStop employee, that that these new games are kind of going back to the original feel of, you know, like when Kirby's Dream Land came out for the Game Boy or Kirby's Adventure for the NES.
I think it's going to take a little bit more of a page from Kirby's All-Star, which came out for the Super Nintendo. I loved Kirby's All-Star. That game was amazing. But one of the coolest things about Kirby's All-Star is you could turn villains, you could either absorb their power or you can turn them into allies.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what this game is going to be all about, is you can turn characters into allies now. So that's going to be pretty cool. So I'm excited to play that. Then we got Okami HD. Now, we talked about this.
Yeah, you did
talked about this in December. I was very excited to hear that it came out for the PlayStation 4. But one of my problems with the game was that the touchpad on the controller was really difficult and very awkward to use on the PlayStation 4. But then, of course, Nintendo had to announce that they're bringing out Okami HD for the Switch. And I was like, well, goodness.
Yep. So it's like, okay, here you go. Here's my money. Take it.
Well, I don't think I'm actually going to buy it because I've already bought the PlayStation 4 version. And it's the exact same game. There's really no difference. The only difference between the Switch version and the PlayStation 4 version is that you'll be able to use the touchscreen on the Switch to actually do some of the paintbrush techniques.
Yep.
So when you play it on regular console mode, you can actually use the touchscreen as opposed to using the Wii controller.
Yeah.
Or if you're playing with a Joy-Con, you can actually use the Joy-Con as like you were able to use the Wiimote in the original Wii game. So which makes it a lot easier. And you can actually feel like you're painting as opposed to really
jabbing the controller.
Yeah, to trying to draw on MS Paint with a mouse.
Yeah, yeah, basically. I mean,
Who remembers that? I'm very excited about it. I won't probably be purchasing it since, again, like I said, I already have it.
Yep.
But it's also an eShop game, and I don't really like to buy too many eShop stuff unless it's a game that I can't buy physically.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
So if I can't buy it physically, I don't want it necessarily.
Yeah.
Which is why I've waited so long for Shantae to come out on the Switch. Yeah. But I'm actually kind of like, I don't want to buy any more games for the PlayStation 4 because I'm sure Nintendo's going to announce that they're getting another system, Dan.
Yeah, and speaking of which, that sounds like a very good transition because speaking of which, would you like me to take this one or do you want
me
to?
Go ahead.
Well, as I'm sure people who had seen Nintendo Direct already know by now, but you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Crash Bandicoot is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
My gosh.
And not just one Crash Bandicoot game.
Not just two. Not the original Crash Bandicoot game.
But the original trilogy of Crash Bandicoot is coming to the Switch.
This is a big deal.
Let that sink in, people.
This is a huge deal because these games previously have only been on PlayStation.
Yes.
PlayStation 1.
Yes.
Okay? This was Nintendo's competition.
Yep.
Okay? For a long time. And now they're coming on the Nintendo system. all three games on the Switch. I'm excited. I will be purchasing it.
Yes. At this point, all we would need to hear is announcement of Kingdom Hearts coming to the Switch. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
I mean, I'm done. They just need to announce that. Just announce it. Just do it, Nintendo. Do it.
Yeah. Do it. All it would take is something like that, and the internet would break again, and all of a sudden people would just be like,
"It just blows my mind."
People would be throwing money at the TV, or at their laptops.
This is the same feeling I got when Sonic came on the GameCube.
Yes,
it blew my mind. I would never see a Sonic game on a Nintendo system.
Yeah,
but here it is.
Yeah, here it is again. Never
Sonic and Smash Brothers.
Never say never.
I mean, never say never. And now we have Crash Bandicoot, a PlayStation 1 mascot, now on the Nintendo Switch. This is just, I can't even believe it. It blows my mind. But
what's next? Yeah. Jak and Daxter? Ratchet Clank? Those are first party games, to be sure. But again, as we know, the future is not set in stone.
I mean, seriously.
Look, not only that, but let's not forget, Sony had said for many years that Spidey would never be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or particularly Avi Arad. And what happened in February of 2014?
He jumped into the MCU. But, Crash Bandicoot, man, awesome. I'm so excited. All right, let's move on. I just want to quickly touch on this because, to be honest, I'm not really excited about this game. I've never really been excited about this series. A lot of people do like it, so we'll just talk about it real quick. Mario Tennis Aces. It looks really cool. It looks like they're trying to make it more of a competitive game. I love that they made it a little more complicated, but you don't have to play it that way. You can play it just simply. They have a story mode now that you can play through and all this stuff. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, the Mario sports games, I mean, the very nature of them and having the Mario characters in there pretty much makes it more accessible to people who might not be so keen on playing the EA sports games because, you know, with the EA sports games, as people who have played them, with the Mario games, those are more accessible and you don't have to take them too seriously if you don't want to.
Right.
Now again, for me, the only Mario sports game that I've had is basically Mario Strikers, and I have Mario Strikers Charged. And again, I used to play soccer back in the day.
Because I remember when it came out for the Wii, was really cool. And then I also liked Mario Hoops 3-on-3.
Yeah. So the beauty of those games really made me love the game, and even my dad, who again is not the biggest Mario game, he did play Dr. Mario back in the day, but again, he was like, "Whoa, wait, Mario playing soccer?" That got his attention. So
right. Yeah, and it was actually a fun game.
It really was
a Strikers game. So
yeah, so
but who knows? Maybe we might see another one. I don't know. Here's the thing.
You know, the Mario characters in the sports games work. Even the Mario and Sonic games, which are still going strong. You know, having them in there, you know, it gives audiences something to access, you know, right. It gives them a portal to playing those sports, but without necessarily, you know, taking it so seriously.
And who's to say we won't see more Sonic and Mario at the Olympics? We didn't see one this year for the Winter Games.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we'll see one for the Summer Games, but then again, Summer Games take place in Tokyo. So
you never know.
Who knows? I mean, Mario did show up when they announced where the and the Prime Minister of Japan came out of a warp pipe. So
enough said. Enough said. Exactly.
So I mean, who knows? All right. Next up is another game I really, really love for the Wii U. And they're bringing it back out for the Switch. I don't mind these Wii U ports.
Me neither.
To be honest.
Me neither.
Because I feel like the Wii U had a great library of games, but not a lot of people played it because of it. The next game is called Captain Toad's Treasure Trackers.
Yeah, I've been curious about that one.
That game was really, really good. Like, it's a short game.
Okay.
But it's a really good game. I did enjoy it so very much.
So it's basically like Toad meets Indiana Jones, kind of?
It's kind of like that. It's a Mario game. It's a Mario puzzle. It's a puzzle platformer without jumping.
Huh, interesting.
There is no jumping in this game.
Wow.
The funny thing is, there is a jump button, but you can't do it. He just, like, struggles.
Oh, man. Poor Toad.
But from what I understand, there are these little Japanese garden things that they have. And they usually do, like, big elaborate ones where it's like a almost like a little diorama.
Yeah.
And that's where they got this idea for this game, is they got this idea from these Japanese. Now, originally, this game was supposed to be a Zelda game, but they decided to do Mario, but Mario is all known for jumping, so how do we do this? Well, they wanted to kind of test it out, so in Mario 3D Land for the Wii U, which I'm almost certain now they're probably going to make a port for the Switch.
I wouldn't doubt it.
They added these little Captain Toad Treasure Tracker levels in that game, and those levels were so popular, people loved them, that they decided to make an entire game based off of those levels, and it was really, really cool. The cool thing about Treasure Trackers for the Switch is that they're also adding some worlds from Super Mario Odyssey. So you'll be able to play through some levels. The only one they showed, though, was New Donk City. You get to play through New Donk City. That's pretty cool. I'm excited for it. I probably will purchase this game again, because I think that it was a very, very good game, a very underrated game. Captain Toads. Next up, we got Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. We talked a little bit more about it. They really just gave us a release date for it, which is coming out in May, which is awesome because it's my birthday.
Oh, hey.
I cannot wait. My birthday month. So I cannot wait for this game to come out. I think it's really great. Hyrule Warriors is very well done. It was my first Warriors game. And since then, I have played three different Warrior games. After that, I've played Hyrule Warriors. I've played Fire Emblem Warriors. And I've played... believe it or not, One Piece. There's a One Piece game.
Oh my god!
Which is actually, they just announced today, was coming out, is going to be coming out for the Switch as well.
Wow.
But you can get it on the PlayStation 4, and it's a really good game. And it plays very well. Although, I will have to say, out of the three, the One Piece game is probably the more basic of the games. And Fire Emblem is more of the advanced player games, all the games are really, really good. Although I do miss Hyrule Warriors, I really do love the game, and that's only because it has a Zelda skin to it.
I mean, I've played Hyrule Warriors, and thanks to you, I also have now played Fire Emblem Warriors. And I gotta say, as cool as Fire Emblem Warriors is, there's just something about Hyrule Warriors that just it just fits, it just works.
Well, I feel, I said this before, I think on the podcast before, I feel Fire Emblem actually fits more of the Warriors gameplay better.
Yeah.
Because it's more strategic.
Right.
You know, all that stuff. Warriors, it's just basically a button masher.
That's true.
You have to kind of think a little bit more. That's why I say that Fire Emblem Warriors is a little bit more of an advanced game. Like for advanced players who really love the series, because you got to think about type weaknesses and you have the different characters with their different weapons. Now, in Hyrule Warriors, you also have different characters with different weapons, but you don't have to worry about your enemy's weaknesses or anything like that.
That's true.
You know, every character is on a level playing field.
And don't you have to do that in the regular Fire Emblem games as well?
In regular Fire Emblem games, it's a very strategic game. So they took a lot of the strategy from those games and they put it into Warriors. And some of it fits, some of it doesn't. I mean, the weapons triangle, to be honest, is not all as important as in the regular Fire Emblem games, because the regular Fire Emblem games is very chess. It's very, setting up your forces and, they can only move specific spaces, blah, 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 blah. This one, the weapons triangle is not all really that important because your characters are so OP that it doesn't really matter.
Great. So,
unless you're going against a commander or something like that.
And some of those commanders are really tough as nails.
Yes.
As I found out, those things really take a pounding before you take them down.
But that will be out on May 18th. All right. Next up, we have a big announcement that I did not see coming. Of course, would be Splatoon 2's DLC. Now, this is the first Splatoon DLC that you have to pay for. And the reason you have to pay for it is because, and they kept reminding this of, kept reminding us about it, is that it's going to be a massive, massive update to Splatoon 2. Because it's adding in a whole new, single player campaign.
Wow.
It's a whole new campaign. This time around, you get to play, Octoling, which is the first time in the series you get to do that.
Aren't those the guys you go up against in the single player campaign?
That's the guys you go up against in the single player campaign. So, you get to actually play Octoling for the first time, and, it's gonna have a really interesting story mode from what I've seen. The trailer was really kind of neat. You get to meet Agent 8, who is the character you get to play in the single player campaign.
Okay.
Agent 8, she wakes up in a subway and, with no memories, and you have to find out what happened to her. And then, they said that after you beat, Agent 8's story, you actually get to use Octoling in Splatfests. So,
oh boy.
So you get to actually be an Octoling.
That's going to be chaotic as all get out.
So that's really, really cool. I'm excited for it. I'm probably going to be purchasing it. Now, they did say though that, they're not sponsoring us, I'm just saying it, that if you purchase it now, they will go ahead and give you some, free stuff in your game already. So you get some t-shirts and stuff like that, some gear. In the game right now. So if you purchase it now, it's $20. If you pre-purchase it, you can go ahead and get that stuff on your game right now. So I'll probably be purchasing it now. They don't have a definitive date for it yet. They just said it's coming out this summer. So I'm hoping there'll be some new weapons along with it, which I don't doubt because, you know, Splatoon is always updating their weapons cache.
Yep.
I'm very excited.
Levi the Roller is.
So, and then, and actually it's kind of funny because they talked to some of the producers of Splatoon and he mentioned that this is 2018, so it's the year of the, it's 2008, so it's the year of the Octoling. So, that makes sense.
That's right, yep,
it makes total sense. So,
completely.
I'm very excited about it. Then, after that.
Oh boy.
After that, they said, oh, by the way, we have one more thing. And, I was like, okay, what else could this possibly be? And, so then we saw the Inklings, they were doing their usual Inkling thing by spraying each other with ink.
Yep.
And then the lights turn off.
Yep.
The Inkling girl stops, she turns around, and in her eye, you see the reflection of the Smash logo, and I about screamed.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah.
The recreation of what happened. Yes, Smash Brothers will be coming out not next year.
Nope.
This year.
This year, folks. You heard it. And you know, and that means that they probably had been working on it for quite a while now, but had to keep everything hush-hush until just the right time.
I'm so excited. So excited. Smash Brothers. But the only thing we know right now, and people have been picking apart this trailer, by the way.
Yes.
As the internet does.
Yes.
Because apparently there's silhouettes under the flaming Smash Brothers logo. And you can see the silhouettes of some people.
I better check that out.
I mean, Bowser's in there. You can tell Bowser's in there and Samus is in there. You can tell a few of the characters automatically, but like, those are not surprising.
Yeah.
But so the Inklings will be in Smash Brothers for the Switch with Breath of the Wild Link.
Yep.
Which I'm very excited to have him in the game. Mario, of course, because, you know, you can't have Smash Brothers without
Mario. No, you cannot.
Now, here's my question for you, Danny the Ultrasonic Player.
What's up?
Do you think that this is a brand spanking new Smash Brothers game, or is it just a port of the Wii U game?
Very good question. Honestly, It could very well be a brand spanking new game. I think.
You think?
I think. I mean, again, I could be wrong, but I got a feeling that this could very well be a brand new one, because if it was just going to be the same old rehash of what's come of the previous game that came before, then I don't think it would really be gaining as much attention or as much traction as it is right now.
I am okay with it being a port of the Wii U version of Smash.
Yeah, and if it turns out to be the case, then I'm okay with that too.
I'm perfectly okay with it, because Smash for the Wii U was awesome.
Yeah, as was the 3DS version.
It had so many characters. So many characters.
Oh my gosh.
And it was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Now we get the Switch here, but they didn't tell us whether it was going to be the Wii U version or a brand new Smash.
Yeah,
we didn't get that. Yeah. All we got was that we're going to have the Inklings, we're going to have Breath of the Wild Link. That's all we know.
Yeah,
that's it. And the internet exploded.
Yes, yes, again for the upteenth time.
And the internet lost its minds.
Oh boy, you have no idea.
There are people picking apart this trailer as we speak, trying to find out any kind of information about Smash. And I am so excited. I really can't wait for Smash to come out. I think the Switch is a perfect system for Smash. We finally get a even better version of Smash for portable systems. Like, I like the 3DS version, but man, it's gonna be so awesome to play Smash on the go, to like walk around with your Switch and then all of a sudden you see somebody's eye and then you just have to start smashing. But yeah, it's really, really cool. I'm very excited. But this leads me to my next question. Before we end this podcast here, cause we're pretty much already done. That's pretty much the direct.
Yep.
Here's my question to you, and we did talk about this earlier. That was a lot of stuff.
Yes.
That they announced on this Nintendo Direct. Again, like I said before, I was not expecting this.
Me neither.
I was not expecting this at all. I was not expecting huge announcements like this. So, with all these huge announcements, what in the world are they going to be announcing this summer?
My guess is everything we saw from Direct and probably more.
Oh.
Because as we all know, Nintendo prefers to keep things to the chest, and they only reveal things when the time is right. And even then, they don't play their hand too soon.
Right.
Until the time is right. So even with what we've seen, I am willing to bet that this is probably just the tip of the iceberg until E3.
I mean, how could you get bigger than Smash, though? How can you possibly get bigger than Smash?
I don't know. Kingdom Hearts for the Switch, I guess?
I mean, it's possible.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, the possibilities are endless, so honestly,
with Crash now being on the Switch, yes, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, exactly.
But what do you think? Do you think we're going to get another Mario game? Do you think we're going to get another Zelda game? Do you think...
At this point, they could do a Mario Sonic action platformer game at this point, and I'd be perfectly fine with it.
I mean, obviously, we already know that Metroid 4, they announced that last year.
Okay.
We have not heard anything about it. Metroid Prime 4, we've not heard anything about it since. So, honestly, they could be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they could do that. I mean, obviously, they're going to talk about Smash.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be all over
E3. And if they don't... And again, I mean, I could easily see them just showcasing nothing but Smash. They could just do that alone for E3. And all the other booths, they're going to be like, what about us? Hello?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, Smash is going to be a Smash hit.
Yeah. Pun intended.
Because it always is.
Yes.
I mean, it's always huge. Every single iteration of Smash since the Nintendo 64 has been a big, big, big hit.
It really has been.
And regardless of how you feel about each of the individual Smash games, they're amazing.
They really are.
Every single one. And I love it because it's a fighting game that you can get into.
Yeah.
And you don't have to know everything about it. You can just play it casually and it's okay.
Yeah.
But then you can get really deep into it and you can figure out every frame of every fighter and all the hitboxes and my gosh.
Everything. You can fight
out everything about it. And then last year, for the Wii U, we got the Amiibos, and the Amiibos being their own fighters, and they can grow, and they can learn, and they can adapt, and, you know, I'm still not sure why we haven't had Amiibo tournaments with the Amiibos.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
I cannot wait. And there was a lot of really good ideas for both the Wii U version and the 3DS version.
Yeah.
The 3DS version had the, I forget what it's called now. Basically, it was like a boss rush. It was like a... It was almost like a platformer, and you got to play around, and you got to beat up several characters.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that actually makes it into Smash for Switch. Switch Smash. Yeah. So I'm hoping that's... this will be coming out soon, you know, and that's just, again, the tip of the iceberg. We only went over the games that we like, but there are tons of games coming out that Nintendo Direct talked about. Dark Souls and Undertale and even a game from Square Enix.
Even on Naruto.
Naruto?
Supposedly from what I've heard, actually, you know what? Well, you know what? Keep talking. Right. I'm going to do a little fact checking just to make sure.
Anyways, it was a huge thing. So I don't... If this was big to us now, I cannot wait to see what they do at E3 and blow us all away. I mean, obviously, they've already announced a Pokemon game coming out for the Switch. Maybe we'll get a little bit more information about that. I don't know. Like, Smash itself is huge. You know, we already had a Zelda game and a Mario game at launch. Now we're getting a Smash Brothers only a year after the Switch came out.
Yep.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yep. Yes, Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Trilogy will be available digitally on Nintendo Switch on April 26th.
Oh, okay, so they're putting out what's already on the PlayStation 4.
Yes,
okay.
About time.
PS4, Sony, man, watch out, because they're coming for your games.
Yep. Disney's coming after you, and now Nintendo's coming after you. So, just saying.
But yeah, I'm really excited for the future of the Switch.
Yes.
I am really excited for
it. I mean, for me, my only problem is just trying to find time to play all these games, because there's like, that's the thing. So many great games coming and so little time. Ugh. I
hate to use another podcast title, but man, this is the reason why we're broke, man.
No doubt. But you know what? But it's true. You know, I mean, but still.
There's so many good things.
It's like great titles. Great titles. And that's what it's all about. You know, yes. I mean, to quote what Reggie Fils-Aimé or the Reginator at Nintendo said best, playing is believing. And boy, do we have a lot of great games coming out that are worth believing and playing. That's for sure.
All right. So let's go ahead and wind down our podcast. I think that we've talked enough about it. We also want to know what you think about it. So, hey, if you're listening to our podcast and you want to talk a little bit about what you thought about the Direct, leave us a comment if you're listening to us on our website. By the way, we're part of thearcadearchives.com, the Arcade Archives Network, a blog website where you get to actually come in and we get to talk about all kinds of nerd-related things, video games, TV shows. If you like this podcast, we talk about all this stuff on the site. We also talk about nostalgia, so talk about back in the day, so arcades and old video games and all that stuff. So check out our website, thearcadearchives.com. Now, if you are not listening to this on the website, if you're listening to this on our YouTube channel, please make sure you like and subscribe. Make sure you share. Let other people out there know so they can become arcaders as well and join us. Become one of us. Also, you know, if you're listening to this on iTunes or if you're listening to this on any other podcatcher that you listen to, please give us a review. 5-star review would be great, but you give us what you think so we can improve if you think we need to improve on our podcasts. We also would like to hear from you guys. So please make sure that you comment if you're listening to this on YouTube, if you're listening to this on our podcast website. Please make sure you comment below with your comments. You can also find us on Twitter at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network. And that's where you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram at The Arcade Archives Network. Again, it's The Arcade Archives Network. And you can also comment there. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/arcade1981. That's facebook.com/arcade1981. Now, if you want to talk to us directly, the host of this show, you can talk to me on my Instagram or my Twitter accounts, and that is ubernerd527. It's UBERNERD527. On both Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, Danny the Ultrasonic Player, go ahead and tell them where they can find you.
All right. Well, you can find me also on Twitter under the handle at UltraSNCPLYR9. And, of course, I'm on Instagram as well under the pen name Ultrasonic9. And, of course, I'm also on fanfiction.net under the pen name Ultrasonic. So you can catch me on there as well. And of course, I write articles for the website as well, and I actually just recently put one up on my thoughts on the score of Transformers the Movie, the 1986 one. And so stay tuned, because we got more stuff coming down the pike. So just check us out.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast. And so, Danny, why don't you go ahead and take us out tonight?
All right, but actually, just before I do, there's actually something that I'd like to ask all the arcaders out there. Now, I know we still have some time before Avengers Infinity War comes out, but something we would like to do is what I would like to hear from all directly from you guys is what is your list of all your favorite MCU films, or specifically all the MCU films, but ranked from your most favorite to your least favorite. Tell us what your list of how you would rank the MCU films, just from you. Write them down and send them to us via email or even via Instagram if you follow us on Instagram, and we will read them to you when we do our coverage of the Avengers Infinity War. How it will be, we don't know, but we do intend on giving you guys a shout out. So again, all you have to do is just give us a list of how you would rank your personal favorite MCU films, beginning from your top favorites to your least favorites. Send them to us, and we will give you guys a shout-out.
Cool.
And, of course, to close it all out, keep playing like it's 1981, everybody. So good luck. So have fun, and we will see you next time.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, Arcaders. It's Ray Gunn here, founder of the Arcade Archives Network. Thank you so much for listening to our Beyond the Start Button podcast. If you like this and you'd like to see or hear more, please head over to our website, thearcadearchives.com. We have reviews, articles, and webcomics dedicated to both nerd culture and nostalgia. If you like this podcast and you'd like to support it, there are several things you can do. If you're listening to us in your favorite podcatcher like iTunes, Google Play, or etc., please review us. Reviews help others find us and find our podcast. If you're listening on the site or you're listening to us on the Beyond the Start Button YouTube channel, please don't forget to like and comment below to interact with us. But regardless of why you're listening to us, please make sure to share this podcast with your friends on your favorite social media platform. We work very hard every month to give you this great show. We want to share it with everyone out there. So thanks again for listening. And keep playing like it's 1981. I'll talk at you later. Bye now.
Attention! Attention! The rebellion has begun. Repeat, the rebellion has begun. This is a rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network. That is all.